you know any drama queens? You know the type, people who seem to attract and thrive on chaos, whose lives constantly seem on the verge of spinning out of control. Maybe you're close to someone like that, or are even such a person yourself. Here with a penetrating look at this personality type is Scott Lyons, author of the new book, Addicted to Drama, Healing Dependency on Crisis and Chaos in Yourself and Others. Scott is a psychologist, educator, and author focused on mind-body interactions, and he joins us now to share five of his big ideas.
Hello, my name's Dr. Scott Lyons. I'm a holistic psychologist, mind-body medicine specialist, and innovator in trauma therapy. I've taught over 500,000 people internationally over the past 20 years how to relieve stress and restore vitality. I've worked with many of the country's top leaders and CEOs as an executive coach and wellness consultant. I'm excited to share with you five big ideas from my book, Addicted to Drama, Healing Dependency on Crisis and Chaos in Yourself and Others. Big idea number one. We all know someone addicted to drama, and here's what it looks like from the outside. From the outside, someone who is addicted to drama will look and feel different than how it feels from someone who is stuck in cycles of crisis and chaos. A person who is addicted to drama will often create mountains out of molehills, make something bigger than it needs to be, or their reactions are more extreme, intense, and exaggerated than what makes sense. They make their life and other people's lives unnecessarily hard by overscheduling themselves and overcomplicating tasks and situations. They don't even realize how much they are stressing themselves out by allocating their energy and attention to a self-induced state of crisis and chaos. People who are addicted to drama get consumed by social media and comparing themselves to other people. This might look like obsessing over what's happening in other people's life or the news and responding to it as though they were part of it. They thrive off gossiping about people they know and even people they don't know. And if they're not gossiping, then they're often retelling the same emotional stories in their head or venting those stories to as many people as they can. They stir things up when things are calm and seem to get anxious or bored when things are going easy or are too quiet. Their relationships often form in the same way they end, fast and furious. Drama plays out in their personal lives as jealousy, blaming, withholding, spying, cheating, intense fights, passionate makeups, and lack of boundaries. Their presence feels like an inescapable tornado of chaos. They pull everyone around them into their intensity and drama, and it can go from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye. And you're left thinking, whoa, what just happened? Essentially, from the outside perspective, their life feels like a roller coaster with high highs, low lows, and lots of twists and turns in between. Big idea number two. The inner world of a drama addict is one of anguish. Living inside the addiction to drama feels and looks quite different than how it appears on the outside. From the inside perspective, life feels hard and unfair. No matter how hard they try, the world feels like it's conspiring against them. To reflect this frustration, they might say things like, "It's always something." Or, "Why can't things just be easier?" They feel a lack of control over what's happening to them or even in their behaviors and responses. The enormity of their reactions feels justified by the intensity to which they perceive the world. Because in reality, their underlying trauma has actually altered the way they smell, hear, taste, see, and even perceive time. It's like their senses are locked in and they can only filter in the negative and hardships around them. For those with an addiction to drama, they create the storms and then they get mad that it's raining. They'll say things like they hate the drama. And on some level they do, even if they're feeding off of it. Relationships feel hard and are a source of constant struggle for those addicted to drama. Often they feel abandoned, betrayed, or that people can't live up to their expectations. It feels like no one truly has their back or understands them. And isolation and loneliness creep in, as well as a defense not to feel those emotions. There is an underlying current of anxiousness in whatever they do, wherever they go, and a sense that something can go wrong at any minute. Therefore, relaxing or finding ease feels like it will leave them exposed or vulnerable to what can and will go wrong. Even when the environment around them or other people are calm and easeful, they feel a sense of urgency. In turn, they feel out of sync with the world. The only moments they feel in sync and validated is when the conditions around them are as chaotic as they feel internally. So they reflexively create the chaos or seek it out. They pull people in who can enable them as well. This is called drama bonding. Essentially, where crisis forms connection, and for those with an addiction to drama, a false sense of belonging. Big idea number three. Some people chase the drama to avoid their trauma. How addictions are born. It makes sense to ask the question, why would anyone create or subconsciously seek out more stress and more chaos in their life? It's a great question. But to answer it, we have to ask a different question. What have you done to avoid pain? When pain or trauma occurs in someone's life, and there isn't the support, time, resources, or space to process and metabolize that trauma, the hurt gets stored in the body. That person then subconsciously seeks the ways to avoid the overwhelm and protect themselves from the intensity of feelings accompanying that pain. Emotional and physical pain are nearly indistinguishable as it's registered in the nervous system. In short, addiction is the process of getting hooked and attached to whatever distracts, takes focus from, or offers momentary relief from the underlying suffering. The reward center of the brain gets activated despite what the actions or behaviors are that stimulate it. In the same way you can get a runner's high by strenuous exercise, you can also get an endorphin high from a stress response. So if retelling the same story over and over again of how the store clerk was rude gets you revved up, stressed, and diverts your attention from the deep underlying current of anxiety and disease, it will be rewarded and encouraged as a strategy for future use. Another natural protective mechanism humans have evolved to use in relation to trauma is numbness and disassociation. It's a protective wall that forms around the discomfort. Over time, this protective wall spreads and numbness becomes the person's baseline experience. They just feel empty, unfulfilled, depressed, or they feel like they're a walking ghost, anchorless in the world. The numbness unintentionally creates a separation between the world and themselves. This is where, once again, addiction forms to navigate the pervasive loneliness. We get hooked on what fills the inner void or gives enough sensation to feel alive. To feel means we exist, we are alive, we matter, and we have purpose and meaning. Drama is not about making sense. It's about making sensations. Big idea number four. A global pandemic of drama is forming. Suppose you grew up in a chaotic household, or even one that's lacking emotions, expression, connection, and responsiveness. In both situations, the currency for attaining attention and love could be extreme emotional responses. Examples include being sick, anxious, focusing on the negative, or speaking loud enough to be heard. You adopt whatever strategies work to be seen, witnessed, and attended to, all of which are fundamental needs that ensure safety and preservation. Now, in a world of nearly 8 billion people, attention is one of the most sought after and precious commodities. In fact, capturing and maintaining focus is the ground for what's called an attentional economy, where whomever predicts and holds your focus will maximize profits. And as the mediums of media and technology fight for your attention and pull it to where they want to direct it, it becomes harder to bring your attention back to yourself. This is a forced act of self-abandonment that leaves your needs and feelings unattended to and unprocessed. At the same time, the primary technique for capturing your focus is inducing a stress response through stimulating words, intense images, and a focus on negative or highly charged emotional content. Unfortunately, an attentional economy is truly a stress activation economy in which your nervous system is being flooded with overstimulation. Over time, you build a tolerance to the amount of intense stimuli you see on the news, magazines, and social media. Essentially, you become numb to the level of information overload and stress, so you require more input to feel. To maintain the attention and stress activation economy, marketing engineers, content creators, media producers all must adapt. The same level of activation required to get someone's focus 5 or 10 years ago is not the same as the amount it takes now. It takes more violence, sensationalism, and extremes to get and sustain attention. This cycle of being overstimulated, building a tolerance for it, and then needing more stimulus has become the new normal, as is the exhaustion, havoc, and chaos on the nervous system from that cycle. And when we're not being inundated with overstimulation, we will often seek or create the conditions to avoid the withdrawal from it. This withdrawal looks like boredom and feels like anxiety. The solution? Another hit of drama. Big idea number 5. Stress and drama are contagious, so we all need support and healing. All addictions deeply impact the person who's navigating them, as well as those around them. In fact, one of the core aspects of an addiction is that despite the consequences to oneself or those around them, they keep using. What's unique about an addiction to drama is that it's contagious. Being a bystander of drama means you will have secondhand stress. This evolutionary survival mechanism is meant to help us be more prepared and responsive to an unknown threat. For instance, you have a friend who runs into your house, panicked, as if they're being chased by something. Before they can even say anything, you're registering their stress cues, like heavy breathing, slumped posture, pupil dilation. Your physiology automatically begins to mirror your friend's so that you are prepared and can also run away from the unknown threat. Now, this same truth applies to when someone is in the throes of drama and they are oozing stress. So nearly all of us are navigating an addiction to drama or the secondhand stress that comes while being in proximity to them. And let's not forget, proximity includes the over 5 billion people now on social media. Here are a few actionable steps of healing for those addicted to drama and those in proximity to them. Number 1, when you catch yourself revving yourself out of ease and comfort, pause. Ask yourself, is it safe enough to find some calm in this moment? And if so, stay with that calm as you start overriding the reflex for creating or seeking stress. Number 2, start doing activities that connect you to your body, like yoga, counteracting the numbness. And then find the right trauma therapist to help you process what's underneath the numbness. Number 3, use self-healing statements daily, like the space in between or quietness is filled with opportunity, not threat. Or I'm reclaiming my power to decide how much energy and how much emotions are needed to address this situation. 3 steps to heal and thrive while being in proximity to someone with an addiction to drama. Number 1, ground yourself. Being around those with an addiction to drama means they have pulled you off your axis and into their tornado. Take time to come back to yourself, your feelings, and your needs. Number two, don't enable them by adding your energy to theirs. Stay as calm as you can. Just make space for them to vent and stir things up without adding into that. And when you can step away from them, make sure you do activities that restore your energy. Number three, set boundaries. Clarify how much time, attention, and energy you are willing to give to this person who is addicted to drama. Remember, you deserve to take care of you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy my book, Addicted to Drama.
Thank you, Scott. That was five big ideas from Addicted to Drama, Healing Dependency on Crisis and Chaos in Yourself and Others by Scott Lyons. You might also want to check out our book bite for Drama Free, a guide to managing unhealthy family relationships by Nedra Glover-Tawab. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.